When's the last time you had a sleepless night? Maybe not the whole night, but at least part of the night when you should have been asleep, you were awake. You had thoughts rattling around in your mind. Maybe you had questions that start with why about the past. Maybe you had some thoughts about some regrets running around about the past. Or maybe the reason you were up in the middle of the night is because those thoughts running around were about the future. They were concerns about what would happen next. Maybe it's because there was a lack of clarity around the future, or maybe it's because there was clarity about the future and you didn't like what the future looked like it was going to hold. When's the last time you had a sleepless night? I think most of us have experienced that at some point. Really, almost as far back as I remember having those nights. In middle school or high school, worried about something that was going to happen or worrying about something that had happened. I remember in college, being up at night worrying about what I was going to do with my life. Or worrying about what I had done with my life. I mean, even now, at times worried about my kids or worried about my job, worried about if something went well or if it didn't go as well as I thought that it did. I think all of us in this room understand what it's like to be up in the middle of the night, and even though we're exhausted, we just can't sleep. So we're going to dedicate 2 weeks to talk about this phenomenon. Next week, we're going to talk about some of those specific things, some of those specific regrets about the past, some of those specific concerns about the future, and we're going to talk about what it is that God can do with those. But this week, even more basic, what do you do in the middle of the night when you can't sleep? Very practically, what do you do? This week, we're going to talk about what do you do when you can't sleep. And next week, we're going to talk about one thing that you, we're talking about this week, what one thing you can do is. And next week, we'll talk about what is it that God can do with that one thing. And all of this is going after one goal for all of us in here. To increase our level of peace and to lower our level of anxiety. That's the hope. Less anxiety and worry and more peace and more comfort. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we get to spend together. Thanks for the worship that we've been able to participate in, the songs we've sung and the songs we've heard, the time of prayer and the time of hearing the scripture. And now, Lord, as we turn to talk about the scripture, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will guide us. Lord, guide this conversation. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, they'll be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this afternoon is Boyd, our six-year-old, his last basketball game of the season. And I don't understand exactly how this happened, but somehow I became one of the assistant coaches, which is ridiculous because I know nothing about coaching basketball. In fact, there's really only three things that I know to do. So I sit on the bench and I just yell these three things at children. This is what I yell. Get to your spot, because they have little spots they're supposed to stand in. Get to your spot. And the second thing that I yell is, put your hands up, like to show that you're open. Put your hands up. And the last thing that I yell is, and this is probably the one I yell the most, stay in your spot. Get in your spot, put your hands up, stay in your spot. That's all that I know. Fortunately, I can stay a step ahead of a six-year-old, but that's about it, right? That's all that I know to tell six-year-olds about basketball. And that's kind of all that I know to tell you about what we're talking about this morning. About what do you do in the middle of the night when you can't sleep? And frankly, if you get good at doing this during the day, you don't have to do it as much at night. I think most of the things that keep us up at night are keeping us up at night because we haven't spent the time that we needed to during the day. So we're going to talk about doing it 3:32 in the morning if you can't sleep. If you begin to do this more during the day, I think it's going to lower your anxiety and increase your peace. And in fact, here's how I know this. I know that a message is coming together when I begin to realize that I need the message myself, that either I need it this week or I have needed it in the past. And at about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I realized that I needed this message. Because Amy was hanging out up here with Elizabeth and a bunch of other ladies on the women's retreat, which meant that Friday night and all day Saturday, I was home with our three kids. And I love our three kids, but I have a hard time doing it by myself. And some of you do this for a living, like this is your job, and God bless you. I don't know how you do it. I love them, but they wear me out. So at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I went and I laid on my bed. Boyd was in charge in the living room. And I laid there for about 5 minutes. I think I fell asleep for a minute, so it could be a little longer, I don't know. I laid there for about 5 minutes. And as I laid there, I did exactly what I'm gonna recommend that you do today. And I stood up, and I'm not kidding, lower anxiety and increased peace. Now, I am indebted to a large degree to Victoria Powers, one of our other associate pastors, who preached on this passage in Cox Chapel at 8:30 a few weeks ago. And what she said was so good. I'm indebted to her, so I wanna give credit where credit's due. And here's one thing that I wanna make clear. Some of you have insomnia, and it is a medical condition. You need doctors, you need medicine, you need psychiatrists, right? It's a medical condition, and you need, if you have a medical condition that prevents you from being able to sleep, I am not gonna be able to help you this morning. Okay, I'm a pastor, not a doctor. But some of you have insomnia, and it's of a different kind. Some of us have insomnia, and it's not a medical condition, it's a soul condition. Some of us, it's not anything that's going on with our biology or the chemicals in our brains. It's not anything with that. And if that's the reason that you're up at night, the opposite is also true. The psychiatrist, the doctor, the therapy, it may be able to help you with the symptoms, but it's probably not going to help you with the cause. If the reason that you're up at night is a soul condition, the medicine can help you sleep, but it won't get to the root of the problem. I can't help you with the medical issues, but the doctors might not be able to help you with the soul issues. My doctor, Dr. Casey, is supposed to be watching online, so I hope that she is. And she can help me with my physical issues. But what we're gonna talk about today can help silence those voices that are rattling deep down inside in your soul. So we're going to look at what one person did in the middle of the night a long time ago. We're going to talk about what we can do in the middle of the night. And I'm going to tell you about something that happened to me in the middle of the night a few years ago that changed the trajectory of my family's life and impacted yours just a little bit also. So let's look at this story that Ross read just a minute ago. If you have your own Bible, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you don't, that's no problem. We brought one for you. Right in front of you is a blue pew Bible, and you can grab that. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel is after Ruth, it's after Numbers and Deuteronomy and some other things. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So there are 66 books in the Bible. They all have they have different genres. Some of them are history, some of them are poetry, some of them are letters, one of them is a sermon. This is a history that tells us about early Israel. And this part tells us about the person that the book is named after, Samuel. Samuel was a miraculous baby. His parents had struggled with infertility, and then after many, many years, they conceived. He became a prophet of great notoriety in ancient Israel. And then perhaps most famously, he, right before David and Goliath battled, he anointed David to be king. This is a story about Samuel when he was a child. Okay, follow along with me. We're going to start a little bit before it's printed in your bulletin. It's also printed in your bulletin. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. Okay, these are the main two characters. You know about Samuel. Here's what you need to know about Eli. Eli is a priest who is in charge of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is just a fancy word for a tent, but a very special tent. This tent housed the Ark of the Covenant, which is where the Ten Commandments were. And in that day, God lived in heaven, but he had a throne on earth. And the throne was the Ark of the Covenant. So where did God live on earth? He lived in this tent that Eli is in charge of, on that throne, inside of the tent. So Eli is really important. He's the priest, and his job is to be the one who relates with God and also relates with the people. Now, here's what you need to know about this time. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Throughout Israel's history, there are times when God would be very, very active and do a lot. And he would speak sometimes directly to the people, oftentimes through other people. He would talk to somebody, and that person, a prophet, would share what God had said with other people. Throughout Israel's history, there are times when God talks a lot, and there are times like this when God seems to be silent. There aren't many visions, and the word of the Lord was rare. But there may be a reason for that. Because we tend to think that today too, I think. We think, sure, God did stuff in the Old Testament. I believe that. Yeah, I know. Like, God spoke through Jesus. I get that. I even believe that God spoke to my grandmother, you know, 50 years ago. But he's not talking to me. Where is God today? It doesn't say there were no visions and no prophecy. It just says that they were rare. It feels a little bit like today. But then he keeps going. At that time, Eli, the priest, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. Now notice this. It's history, but there's also metaphor here. Eli's eyesight is growing dim. He's getting older and he can't see as well. Maybe he has cataracts, but there's no surgery for that. He physically can't see as well, but what we also know is that Eli is struggling spiritually. His sons have gone off the rail and they're abusing their privileges, and Eli has refused to hold them to account. Not only is he physically not seeing well, but perhaps more importantly, spiritually he's struggling. He doesn't see the Lord as he used to. There aren't as many prophecies. Where's the word of the Lord? The priest can't see like he used to. But here's the other side of it. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. History, the physical lamp had not gone out. Symbolism. Eli's eyes are growing dim. It feels like God's not speaking, but what's actually true? The lamp of God has not gone out. It's not actually the case that God is not active. It's not actually the case the fire of the Lord has grown dim. It's just that the person responsible for seeing it and interpreting it doesn't see it anymore. Maybe it's not that God is not active. The people were just missing it. And while he's asleep in his room, Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So where's he sleeping? Who's he sleeping next to? He's sleeping next to the throne of God. He's sleeping next to God. This is his spot. This is where he is. He's laying down next to the ark. And then, and this is where it picks up in your bulletin. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And then you see what he did next? He ran, and where did he run? To Eli. He's sleeping next to where God is. He hears his name called, and what does he do? Not knowing. He runs away from God. Why? Well, he said, "Here I am, for you called me." He thought that it was Eli's voice. It was a voice of God, and he didn't recognize it. But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went to lay down, and the Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up again, he went to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. But again, Eli said, I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again. When I was reading this, I saw it in a way that I'd never seen it before when it said my son. I thought, maybe my 2.5-year-old Charlie, God's just like talking to him all night long. And that's why he's constantly in my bedroom at night, you know? There have been two times in the last month when every one of the 4 human beings living in my house with me, every one of them has woken me up in the middle of the night. They've been 4 for 4, at which point I've announced to the whole house, you're 4 for 4. All 4 of you woke me up. Maybe God's, or maybe Charlie's just defiant. I think that's probably what's happening. Okay. I didn't call you, my son, lay down again. Okay, now we really get to it. Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Samuel knew about God, but Samuel didn't yet know God. Now, Billy Graham, who passed this week, talked about that. He talked about how you can be a Christian, you get your ticket to heaven, you've got your insurance policy, that's what Billy Graham called it, but then you don't actually grow in your relationship with God. You can know about God and not actually know God. Samuel at this point knows a lot about him, but he doesn't know him yet, but he's about to. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. He got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. Then finally Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, this is what you say. Look, if you want to hear from God, this is what you say. This was a long time ago. People have been doing this for centuries now. They said, look, if you want to hear from God, this is what you say. Go to your spot where it's quiet, be still, and then just say these words, Eli says. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel does it. He went and he laid down in his place. He went to his spot. And the Lord came and stood there calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. Don't miss those two words, as before. Oh, don't miss this. He called him in the same way that he had called him 5 minutes before. But 5 minutes before, what Samuel would have said is that the word of the Lord is rare in these days, and visions don't happen very often. He would have said, I've never heard from the Lord. I had a dream one time where I thought that I heard something, but it was just Eli calling me, I think. I don't know. God is not saying anything differently. He's been calling to Samuel all along. The difference is not what God is doing. The difference is that Samuel now has ears to be able to hear him. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. We won't look at what he says. You can read it on your own, but God speaks to him. Maybe, friends, maybe. Maybe it's not that the word of God is any more rare today than it has ever been before. It's just that we're missing it. A few years ago, my dad and I went to a NASCAR race. Anybody been to a NASCAR race? It is really loud. I was sitting next to my dad. This is how loud it is. I was sitting on his left. And when I wanted to talk to him, I would cup my hands over my mouth. And I would put my hands up against his ear. And I would yell as loud as I could. And we could barely hear each other. Think about your day. What you run between. Whether you're in school or you're at home. You work. When I commute, even when I'm in the car or I'm walking from here up to Snyder Plaza to meet somebody for lunch, I listen to podcasts or I listen to music. I get home and, I mean, you know, I have five other mammals that live in my house because I have a dog too. This is what my house sounds like constantly. Matt, 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 dad, 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 daddy, 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 wham, 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 woof, woof, woof. That's what I hear. All day. Until when? Until it's night. And it's quiet. And in that quiet is when those questions come back. About the past and about the future. But it's also, friends, in that quiet that God's voice seeks to speak to us also. It's not that God is a nocturnal creature. It's just that that may be the only time that we slow down enough to be able to hear him. My dad and I got back in the car and we wanted to talk about the race. We started talking to each other and guess what? We still couldn't hear each other because our ears were ringing. And it wasn't until we had been away from that for a while that finally we could hear each other. Super practical. If you want to hear from God, and I don't mean an audible voice, I just mean that internal sense. Get a spot. Find a place for you that you can be still. For me, at a period, it was a spot by a lake near my house. For a while, it was behind a stage in the children's area of a church that I was at in Georgia. Right now, the biggest place for me is my kitchen table. Find a spot. Get to your spot. Say that you're open. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then what's the last thing? Stay in your spot. You know why those kids leave their spot? For some of them, they don't trust the plan. And they want the ball. And they get to their spot and the ball hasn't come to them in 5 seconds and they're like, I'm gonna get the ball myself. Some of them won't stay in their spot because they're afraid the ball will come to them. And they go out and hang out by the three-point line. Friends, if we wanna hear from the Lord, not only do we have to get quiet, but we have to stay quiet so those sounds of the world can be drowned out. But I wonder if sometimes we don't want to stay put. One, because we're afraid God's not going to say anything. Or maybe sometimes we don't want to stay put because we're afraid that God will say something. Okay. Here's the last little thing, and then we're going to sing one of the best hymns in the hymnal, I think. 6 years ago, we're in Georgia. I can't sleep. Amy and I are thinking about what we're going to do with the future. Boyd's been born. We want to get back to Texas. I don't know what we're going to do. And I just had this stirring in the middle of the night. And I could not go to sleep until I promised myself that the next morning, as soon as I woke up, I'd go to my computer and I'd email Tova Sido, who was an associate pastor at this church at the time that I knew from when I did my internship here, and say to her, Tova, Amy and I would really love to come back to Texas. If there's a chance to come back to Highland Park, we'd love to have that opportunity. If I had spent that night being frustrated or playing on Instagram or, I don't know, waking Amy up, if I had spent that night doing that, maybe God would have gotten us here anyway. But I also wonder, if sometimes God is speaking to us and we just don't take the time to listen. So my prayer is that this week that we'll take that time, we'll get to our spot, we'll say that we're open, and we'll stay in that spot for a bit and see what God can do with that. And next week, we'll talk about some of those specific questions that rattle around in our mind and talk about what God can do with those. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. I pray that you bless us, that you help us to be faithful, that you help us to spend time hearing from you, trusting, Lord, that it is not that you are less active. It's just that we're more busy. And help us to have the faith and the patience to sit and to hear you. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.